God's attributes were manifested to his pride in his last day.
The Christian faith goes with trials, difficulties. Jesus Christ called them the gates of hell. It is full of trouble. What is this trouble? The trouble there is because Satan does not want you to reach your destiny. God pulls us from the world and is taking us to a destination. And in that destination, what keeps us going is that there is a prize, there is a reward for the overcomers. And this reward is sevenfold reward. That's why our Bible study today is we're trying to look at the sevenfold reward for the overcomers. Amen. Can we stand up with our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11? Just for a text. Then we study the Bible for the Apostle Paul told us to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. This is what the scripture says. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, come and rest. He said, come and rest. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. That's what that scripture is saying. Amen. Rest. But this rest, hallelujah, that is what is eternal life. Eternity is about rest. That's why Jesus Christ is our rest. The Holy Ghost is our rest because the Holy Ghost is eternal life. Amen. The Christian faith, listen very well. The Christian faith does not only pull you away from the troubles of the world. Listen to what statement I want to make. The Christian faith does not only take you away from the troubles that this world gives us, the enemy gives us, satanic forces give us, the kingdom of darkness gives us. But the truth is that you jump from one trouble and enter another trouble. When Apostle Paul said, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution, the Christian faith goes with trials, difficulties. Jesus Christ called them the gates of hell. But let me tell you, amen, that because it is full of trouble. What is this trouble? Hallelujah. The trouble there is because Satan does not want you to reach your destiny. God pulls us from the world and is taking us to a destination. Amen. And in that destination, listen very well, so that it will help you move on and not be weary and not be tired and not backslid and not turn back to Egypt. So that you have no reason to remember the garlic and the cucumber you were eating in Egypt. So that you will not begin to say, oh, when before I became a Christian, things were very smooth for me. Now, since I gave my life to Christ, since I came to this present truth, since this, I don't understand. How can now? Now is when I now begin to pray. I do every time I finish praying. As I sleep, trouble will start again. I try to live my life as much as possible to please the Lord. What is happening? Problems everywhere. Listen, church, the problem is part of the Christian journey from earth to glory. But what keeps us going is that there is a price, there is a reward for the overcomers. And this reward is sevenfold reward. That's why our Bible study today is we're trying to look at the sevenfold reward for the overcomers. The sevenfold reward for the overcomers. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Let's read it from verse 10. Apostle Paul was offering that prayer, and this is what he had to say. Let's read it up to verse 16, but let's catch some things there. This is Apostle Paul's prayer for himself, but it's also expected that the Philippian church will also adopt the same prayer, because that is our prayer too, that I may know him, Jesus, and that I may know the power of his resurrection. When he said the power of the resurrection, he's talking about the benefit of his resurrection. And that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, so that I will understand why my fellowship with Christ is also a fellowship that is identified for better, for worse. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either we are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may understand, apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now there are two words there, that I may apprehend. Go back to that verse again. That I may apprehend. There are two apprehensions there. Apprehend, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. To be apprehended is to be confronted and arrested. Praise the Lord. So that you will know why, he will understand why Christ has arrested him when he was on his way to Damascus. I don't know where he arrested you. Amen. Where were you going? You were on your way somewhere too. When he arrested you. If you don't know, we are all on our way to hell. We are jumping and happily running and going to hell, thinking we were enjoying our life. But unknown to us, there was a hell right ahead of us. And he stopped us on the way and arrested us and changed our destination. Glory be to God. Let's read on. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Hallelujah. Now this is where I am going from verse 14. He said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I read that verse 14 again. I press. It's not an easy road. The way is narrow. You have to press. Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, he said, strive, struggle, strive to enter. I read on. Praise the Lord. I press towards the mark. He's pressing somewhere towards the mark for the prize. Prize here is reward. The reward, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. The mark, the price of our calling. Listen It's very, very important that you catch this. The call that God has called us. Sometimes everybody says, God has called me. Hallelujah. He said, God has called me. Listen, there are two calls. So that you will not, everybody, God call me, God call me, God call me, God call me. Amen. There is a call unto service. God wants to use anybody. And this is where many people mistake this salvation. There is a call unto service. And there is a call unto salvation. There is a call unto service. And there is a call unto salvation. That's why I have repeated here several times. I say there is a difference between the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anointing of the Holy Ghost is God's hand coming upon anybody available, including 419, including Babalawo, including evil animals. Go and find out from Balaam. God used an animal to prophesy to him and give him message. There is a difference so that you don't confuse this. So that you will know why Apostle Peter says that you should give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Because many are called, a few are chosen. Praise God. You will hear God call you my servant, my servant, my servant. Amen. There are some people that are servants of God. But when God wants to speak to them, he will call them my son, my daughter. Some, he will only say my servant. King Cyrus was not a Jew, but he was a servant of God. The Bible called Nebuchadnezzar a servant of God. The Bible even says Pharaoh is a servant. And for your information, Lucifer is a servant of God. I don't know how many people will catch this. Praise the Lord. So that you understand why Luke chapter 10, from verse 17, see the narration there, to verse 21. He told them, sent them out, and they came back with a testimony. 70 of them. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And see the reply that Jesus gave them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What has that got to do with him saying, Satan from heaven, fall? Why he was saying that is that you are boasting that the demons are subject to you. You are casting out spirit. Miracle signs and wonders happen as you call my name. He said, Satan was more anointed than you before. Amen. He was more anointed than you before. But see where he is now. The next verse. Let's read up to verse 21. He said, behold, listen now to this verse. I give unto you what? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I read it again, verse 19. Because every one of us that exercise the power gift, that cast out devil and do deliverance, mighty man of God will lay claim also to this. I give unto you power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Therefore, if you have power, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost can come upon you and may not be in you. See what he said? Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But note verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. This is not what you should be rejoicing. Hey, Pastor Moses Alu, don't rejoice because you are casting out devils. You are doing miracles, signs and wonders. People are testifying every day. That is not what should give me joy. But what should give me joy? He said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Because your names are written in heaven. Verse 21. And after he made that statement, they will be confused. Then he turned to the Father. He said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. He was rejoicing. See why he was rejoicing? Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Because he made the same statement in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. He says, not everyone, it's not everyone. That means some. And I'm among the ones, amen, that will enter into the kingdom. For I have decided and I've made up my mind, I will serve the Lord. Praise God. That's why while some of these Pentecostal this earthly bound Pentecostal preachers who own so much property here, and they will not allow any government policy come near their property on earth. Amen. They will not agree with me when I made a statement that God didn't call me to be property manager. He raised me to watch his sheep. The sons of Jesse, they were managing property in the town. But small David, he was watching over his sheep, the sheep of his father, in the bush there, feeding them, making sure they are well nourished. Hallelujah. He said, feed the flock by which he has made us overseer over. Praise the Lord. When one press man asked me the day we dedicated this building in December last year, he said, I know you'll be feeling fulfilled now that you have built an auditorium. I said, no, I am happy that we have a place where rain can fall, it will not hit us, and we are comfortable. But fulfillment comes from the attainment of your goals. Fulfillment comes from the attainment, hallelujah, of the goals you have set. My ministry is not to build church buildings. So how can I be fulfilled with that? My ministry is to build spiritual lives of people. Lead the people to heaven. Make sure they receive the power of transformation. Pastor Moses, but you have many members everywhere. You should be fulfilled. I will have been fulfilled if not for the type of testimonies I see around. That many people are hearing me, but it seems from the testimony I see that they are not understanding me. If you understand me, then we will be better spiritually than some of us are now. But whatever it is, the foundation of God stands sure. Praise God. God called me to preach the gospel, and that is what I will do. That is my ministry. I will go to the mountain and fast for any human being that will try to stop me by any law to preach the gospel. I will do dry fasting If I not just dry fasting, I will go one man riot squad. I will go to National Assembly. I will go to Aso Rock physically. I will go and protest. I'll protest until they kill me there. I will be there. If you release me, you will find me there again. If you lock me, you lock me. You release me, I will be there again. That is the only injury you can do to me. And God will never let it happen. For this is the day of the latter rain. God is moving in his power again. By the anointing, Jesus breaks them. Matthew 7:21. Not all, not everyone. Let's read it again. Not everyone that says, Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You see why I say anointing is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Hear what he will tell them, verse 23. And then that day will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Yet he used them. They use him. He's not the one that used them. They use his name. Praise God. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. People don't understand the mystery of the anointing. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Psalm 68 verse 18. Psalm 68 verse 18. Makes this very clear. For those of you who may be listening to us for the first time, just listen carefully. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. We shall come back here so that you'll understand that it is Psalm 68 verse 18 that Apostle Paul was quoting Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 11. He said, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Watch what he says. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave gifts. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Go back to Psalm 68, verse 18. It says, thou hast ascended. That's where Apostle Paul was quoting. On high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. He gave these gifts for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among the rebellious also. Among the rebellious also. The mystery of redemption is deep. That means among the rebellious, that is, who is a rebel? A rebel is one who will not keep the commandments of God. Disobedient to the word of God, you are a rebel. The Bible said this. You say, no, it doesn't matter. You want to explain grace, so today you turn grace to disgrace. You have turned the house of prayer to a house of merchandise. You have turned the church of Jesus Christ to money-making ventures. You are rebellious. But among the rebellious, there is a rebel pastor, rebel apostle, rebel prophet, rebel evangelist, rebel pastor, and rebel teacher. I'm saying, thus said the Bible. So that you'll understand. Praise the Lord. Don't condemn these gifts anyhow. That prophet that is selling anointing water, selling anointing oil, charging you before he pray for you, and all the nonsense they are doing with the word of God, he may be genuinely anointed by God, but unconverted. If you don't catch this, you'll be confused and think everyone that is an anointing that is flowing is of God. And sometimes too, you may be calling the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost, you may be calling it Beelzebub, Juju, because you feel somebody cannot have genuine Holy Ghost and be committing fornication. Let me tell you now, you can be genuinely anointed of the Holy Ghost and yet live a life of fornication. The reason, amen, is what you are seeing. He has already packed them and put them aside. That day, he will say, I didn't know you. But he will not deny the fact that you cast out these spirits in his name. So that be careful in condemning people because of the life they live. You also condemn the genuine anointing of God that is upon them. It's a mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a call also. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That is unto salvation. And that is the call I want to belong to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. This is the reason. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And this is the process of our own salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Oh, glory be to God. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the obtaining, there is a reward to obtain from our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called, and the one they call that will is a call unto salvation. You will go through the sanctification of the Spirit, and there's something in you that will make you believe the truth. To believe the truth today is to say amen to the word of God, and you will not argue with the word of God. Praise the Lord. So, brethren, when God calls us, listen, amen. He says there is a price for that high calling. The call unto salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. It goes with a price, because you are going to go through a lot to be able to achieve and end up the way we should end up. And you don't talk of a reward or a prize without a battle or a race. If there's going to be a prize, it is because there's going to be a serious battle or a serious race. Praise the Lord. That is why, let's consider some scriptures so you understand why those scriptures are put that way. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 8. I told you it's a Bible study, so let me make some references. See the way Apostle Paul put it. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That is, he knew it is time for him to die. God revealed to him, now you will die. And he died very horribly, Apostle Paul. Amen. Verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now note verse 8. Henceforth, future, there is laid up for me a crown. See the prize? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are some of them here today? Let them say amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, if you read it from verse 10, It speaks about when you come to Christ, he said, we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. It's a fight against the wiles of the devil, the enemy. Then he gives you a picture. The Christian race, where they deceive you that it's all rosy, rosy, rosy. Rosy, rosy. It's not so. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle. That's why I say he has fought a good fight. There is a bad fight. A good fight is the one that gives you victory. A bad one is the one that defeats you. If you cannot resist that temptation, it's a bad fight. Okay. We wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6. This is the way Apostle Paul makes us understand this battlefield that we are in. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not AK-27. It'll be AK-47. It's not bomb. So those pastors that tell you, pick up arm. Pick up your arm and fight them. Kill them. You are carnal. You are not spiritual. You don't understand the battlefield you are in when you're a Christian. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One more verse. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Our time of vengeance is coming. Our time where we will come and rule this place is coming. This is not the message I was supposed to preach today. I changed this message for very obvious reasons, because the message I was supposed to preach will make me make certain comments that these IT people will just pick it and throw it in the social media and create enmity for me. I'm preaching to my people. They go carry and put for the whole world to hear. Listen, because I have a comment to make that will make you get a picture to understand the estate of the Christian faith in Nigeria today. It is in the Bible. I'm telling you. And even the evidence of a total defeat of the church is what so-called men of God are resorting to. And carnal Christians are following those type of thoughts. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. It's not said the Bible. They are mighty through God. But when you are unable to go through God, then you will resort to self-help, carnality. Do you know the God that we serve? Do you know this God that we serve? Stay with him. If a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh the enemies to be at peace with him. Why is the Christian faith in Nigeria not having peace? I reserve that for next week. Praise the Lord. In this battle, we have our assurance of victory in the journey from earth to glory. Number one assurance we have is in John chapter 16, verse 25. Let's read up to verse 33. See what Jesus Christ was saying to encourage us. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. By the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and I'm come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. The disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Praise the Lord. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33. Now, listen very well. That's my emphasis, this verse. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Oh, verse 33 again. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, if you are in Christ, ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, difficulties, trials, temptation, the assurance of our victory. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The world has no power again over you. They will not succeed. Praise the Lord. Why? Because Matthew 16 verse 18 says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That is why Apostle Paul, the assurance of victory in Romans chapter 8 verse 35 to verse 39. Romans chapter 8 verse 35. He could now boldly say, and all of us too, we can boldly say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall Fulani herdsmen? Shall Buhari government? Shall, how would I describe these politicians? Shall thieves in government? I don't know how to describe the leadership of this country. Thank God, I'm not of this country. Oh, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can feel at home in this world. Our prayer. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, oh, in this world anymore.